Thank you, Lord. Are you ready for some word this morning? Tell you what, I'm trying to decide whether to start with. I think I want to go here. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We've been speaking on the peace of God, and I may get back to it this morning. But yesterday, driving, just stuff was going through me that was just strong revelation about the things of the kingdom. I think I want to touch on some of it this morning, so I don't know where we're going to end up. I just know where I'm starting. Galatians chapter 5, have you got it? Father, speak through to us this morning. Speak through me. Let your spirit guide everything said and done. And let the word be received. Let it be believed. Anoint us to act on it. We want to be those that are doers of the word and not hearers only. Myself included. I want to flow in this thing. I want to swim in the river. That's one thing that Prophet Robin Bullock was doing Friday night, even swimming. I think he mentioned it a time or two about swimming. And there's a flow, God's God. If we'll get in the flow, things get so much easier. Amen. I used to do a lot of swimming. And just loved to swim. That was my number one exercise. And I used to live on the reservoir in Lexington. That's my apartments. And I would go out and swim the reservoir, not across, lengthwise, back and forth, back and forth. And may spend 2 hours out there just swimming. I could swim all day. And one thing about swimming, if you ever swam in a river, anybody ever swim in a river, maybe it's got some flow to it, you can almost dog paddle and go down the river. And you just stay your head above water where you can breathe, and the river will carry you. If you're trying to go upstream against the river, it's hard. You have to work it. And God's got a river of his glory we're stepping into. That is just going to be, keep your head above water, go with God, enjoy the trip. There's a thing I've been on a few times I really enjoy. If I had my own bazillion dollars and built my own house, I'd have one of these. It'd be a lazy river. Anybody ever ride in a lazy river where you lay on the tomb? When I first moved to Kentucky, we took a trip down Red River Gorge. The Red River. We had canoes and tubes, and you could just sit back and let the river carry you. I love the lazy rivers. Just the flow and the relaxation, the peace. And God's about to take us on one of those journeys. We just float on down with him, right? But you got to work to get there. You got to work the word to get there. You have to build your faith to get there, right? But it gets a place where it gets self-supportive. It gets easy. I don't believe we're moving into that right now if we'll just stay the course. Are you in Galatians chapter 5 yet? Let's start reading. At verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love God as thyself. Is that what it says?
No.
What's it say?
Neighbor.
You will love thy neighbor as thyself. God says, if you can get a hold of this, if you can get to the place you love your neighbor, now I believe neighbor is really referring to a covenant term, those that are you're connected with. But if you can love those around you, God says you'll fulfill the entire intention of the Old Testament law. All of thou shalt and thou shalt not is fulfilled in loving your neighbor. The entire intention of God all through creation since Adam was to create a group of people united in love, unbreakable. And he couldn't do it through Adam and Eve. He couldn't do it through, you know, the first groups of people. He couldn't do it with Israel. But he intends to do it with the church. Bring us to a place that we're fulfilling all the intention of the creation from the beginning is to be a united people the enemy can't break. And I must tell you, this church, and I've been in quite a few of them, been to a lot of them, I've never seen a church more united than this one. We're loving this one. I know We're not really busting at the seams yet, but I believe we will be. But God's got a core of people He's raising up to learn to walk in covenant and protect covenant. Yes. Refuse division and strife, to recognize it and be fire extinguisher. You put out strife within the body.
Yes.
Do you follow me? And God's called each of us to be guardsmen against division. We've had some people leave, and it's amazing when they leave, they don't want to pull other people out. That's not the way covenant works. Amen. And so God's raising up a united people in supernatural love. Now again, I'm going to be starting not necessarily daily, but close to daily teaching on love, about 5 minutes a day, on supernatural love, to really explain what it is and how we step into it. Because it's more than you just trying to be nice. If the supernatural love of God was just a result of trying to be nice, the world could do it. But they can't. You follow me? And I don't have time to hit this side track now because I'll be here for weeks. But just know we're called to walk in a supernatural love. And He says if you'll love your neighbor, if you operate in this love, it'll connect you together. And He says it's been my intention from the beginning. To have a people the devil can't divide. Let me touch on that just for a minute. If you were to ask the average charismatic Christian what's the intention of the word, well, it's, you know, to get people saved. Well, that's part of it. Well, it's to get people healed. That's part of it. Do you follow me? Some would even say it's to get people prosperous, to bankrupt the devil. That's part of it. But the primary intention is to create a people the enemy can't divide. He has no gaps. He can come in and split and sever and create distrust and offense and disharmony. And that's what we're called to guard above all. Well, I've never raised anybody from the dead. I've never opened blind eyes. I feel like I failed. Yeah, but what are you doing to protect your heart from being offended? What are you doing to cast down imaginations, what the devil's trying to do to split you out? And kind of a side note, I was thinking about this. I mentioned this a while back. I don't know if I've ever given you an update or not. I don't know that I'm different from anybody else in this area, but imaginations rise up within us. I've played football for several pro teams. I played in the NBA. I could jump higher than Spud Webb. I played professional football, professional baseball in my mind. You follow me? I know kung fu and 47 other Japanese words in my imaginations. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I was a kid, I was Spider-Man, Captain America, and sometimes if I could find a big hammer, I was Thor. And you think you grow out of those things when you get older, but you don't. A lot of the imaginations that would hit me would be, what if somebody gets mad at you for this? Now, this is kind of a confession a little bit, but when I was young, I fought a lot of rejection. For one, my father hated me. It's not me making it up. My mother told me he hated you, which I could sense it all through growing up. My wife will confirm.
Yes.
He did. Plus being somewhat geekish. Didn't help because you're already lacking some very important social skills when you step into that. And moving from one part of the country to another where you were totally different and spoke different. It initiated some, how can I say, expectations of rejection. You follow me? If they don't want me, I don't want them, whatever. And imagination will rise out of that. In fact, I believe there was a familiar spirit assigned to me to expect people to reject me. Is this okay this morning? And I overcame it in Jesus' name. You'll have to love me. The Bible says I'm accepted in the beloved. But the imagination was still trying to come, and you got to cast them down. Look at 2 Corinthians. Hold this spot if you want to. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Once again, I said I don't know where I'm going, so here we are. But God's got a flow, and sometimes you don't know where the river's going. Sometimes we try to chart our own river by making notes that we can't get off of. And I've got notes, lots of notes. But God says, no, today the river's going this way. You got to learn to react to it. So right now I didn't know we were going here, but here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now again, if I get there this morning, really my target is, see where it says flesh? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. In your mind, translate that as natural. I know we're made of flesh, but it's talking about, though I walk in the natural. Natural expectations, natural strength, expecting natural strength only to help me. We don't war in that realm. And as long as you stay stuck in natural expectation, natural function, and you're not thinking supernatural, you're not thinking faith, you're not thinking the miracle power of God on your life, you can't do war effectively against the powers of darkness. The only way you can operate against darkness is you get into this mindset, I'm not a natural being anymore. I'm not a flesh being anymore. Oh, I have a flesh body, but that's not who I am. I'm a son of God, a child of the King, given all authority, all power. Do you follow me? The word of God in my mouth, I can live above the natural. And then you can start to do war. For we walk in the flesh, we do not do warfare after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not natural. They're mighty, empowered, supernatural. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? We always think of these demonic powers in the sky as stronghold. A stronghold is any mindset. Any part of your inner belief system that doesn't align with the Word of God. Do you follow me? Strongholds aren't necessarily up in the sky. They're in you. They're what you believe that is not aligned with truth. And it says, we can use the power of the Word, the power of God, supernatural forces, to pull those out. The Word is a supernatural weapon. The Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? Hebrews 4:12. And that word, when you take it against these strongholds, will uproot wrong thinking. Yeah. But sometimes you got to hit it more than once. Mm-hmm. You follow me? I mean, how many here besides myself have chopped on some trees before? Chopped some roots out of a hole or whatever. When I was 17, we moved to... Right before I turned 70, we moved to a farm in Tennessee. And I'm sure I've shared this, but our water line was up a hill that was like this. I mean, you'd have to go like this up the hill. 500 feet. 500 feet to a spring that fed our water line. And the line that was in the ground was over 50 years old. And it was a 1-inch galvanized pipe that was corroded, totally shut. At our house down below, you turn on water and you get a little trickle. So the first thing we did is we replaced that line. We replaced it in, I think, early summer, maybe spring, probably spring. And my father measured how far it was. I had a brother who was 2 years younger than me. Still do. And my dad says, before winter, this line has to be dug. So we divided the 500 feet of it's got to be buried. It'll freeze. We divided the 500 feet between two of us, 250 feet, by how many days we had. And it came out, we had to bury 11 feet a day each.
Wow.
Dig a trench. 11 feet length. No, I had to go down 18 inches. The problem is that that line had been buried for over 50 years, and the hill that went up was forest. So we didn't dig a trench. We chopped a trench. I came to one part of the line I had to bury. Went under a tree this big around. Shrek under it. I think we go to my dad and say, Dad, I don't know what to do about this. He said, go around it. Would you know the roots go out a long ways? I had to barely go around. I had to chop my way through the roots of that tree. In other words, it took some effort.
Yes.
And a lot of our digging was with an axe or a pickaxe. And you're chopping away trying to get these things done. Sometimes we're doing warfare with the Word. It's like that. You got a destination you got to get to. You got a target you got to attain. But you've got to take the Word and keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it until you punch through. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And so some of the things you deal with yourself, I mentioned I dealt with rejection. Other people deal with other strongholds, other addictions. Use the Word against it and don't stop until you get victory. You follow me? And they'll try to raise his head again. Hit it again. Speak the Word. So he says, verse 5, casting down imaginations. I kind of got off track there, but y'all forgive me. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It says, casting down imaginations. Now the word there really is a word that means logic. Natural thinking. Casting down natural thinking. But I believe it includes where your mind wants to go that doesn't align with the Word. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you know, part of the truth I had to really confess and come to the realization of, I'll never play in the NBA. Professional basketball. I will never play professional basketball. Ever since I broke my ankle, I had to write that off. But the imaginations may try to come. And I announced this a few months ago. I've come to the conclusion how to get victory over that. And I've been doing it ever since. If I find my mind entering any imagination, whether it's playing ball for, you know, professional team, or whether it's just something that has no meaning, or even if it involves somebody rejecting me. I mean, your mind will go, what if they cut you off in traffic? What if they don't answer your phone call? Whatever. Any imagination that my mind enters into, when I realize it, as soon as I realize it, I go into praising God. You start praising God. Why? Because you can't think on two things at the same time. And I shut down the imagination just by, I praise you, Lord, I glorify you. You're the God of all creation. I bless you, Jesus. And it shuts it down.
Yeah.
And just kind of a praise report, just a testimony, some feedback. Since I've started doing that, I would say the imaginations have been cut 80%. Why? Because the devil doesn't keep trying to hit you with stuff that doesn't work. If it makes you praise God, you quit. And that stuff still tries to rise up. But I'm getting quicker and quicker at recognizing it. Where you take every thought captive. And what it does is now dedicating your thinking to only stuff that aligns with the Word. Do you follow me? Now listen. Kentucky won a great football game yesterday. I was cheering for them all the way.
Sure.
I wasn't against Tennessee. I pulled for Kentucky.
Still Kentucky,
and you know, I'm not a fan of Florida whatsoever. Florida football. And there's no problem with talking about the ball game. Do you follow me? You know where it gets to be a problem? Is if your team loses and you think about it for 2 weeks, if only they'd done this. I'm starting to think of a Georgia game right now. Isn't that the game they almost won, should have won? And was it Georgia they had won and blew it at the end?
Texas game.
Yeah. You got to be able to control where that mind goes.
Yes.
And you can talk about other things in the Word, but you never let it go out of bounds as far as imagining things that are never going to happen. Do you follow me? That have no impact on the kingdom whatsoever. And you grab those and you bring them captive. You make yourself praise God or think about what the scriptures say. Is this okay with you so far? And I'm telling you, it's working. I advise it. If you find your mind drifting off, start praising God. And you can develop it as a habit. Did you follow me? You can make it a reaction, a routine, and it will shift things in your life. This mind, how many have heard the term concepts? Your mind is a conception area. It was designed to birth things. And as long as you're thinking about things that could never happen, things that even involve offense, things that just are not aligned with the Word of God, you just put your conception area on birth control. Can you grab that? You said, I'm not going to birth what God wants me to birth. And the enemy, and even your flesh, is an expert at letting you, because the mind loves irresponsibility. It loves no demands. Let me ask you a question real quick. Close your eyes. Down your head, I want you to add some numbers. You ready? 37, 52, 12, 9, 16. Okay, open your eyes. How many got the answer?
17.
10, 17?
1,017.
No, I didn't put that many numbers up there.
What was that last one you said?
12.
You said two numbers like it.
Oh, maybe it's not like two numbers.
It's a thousand or something.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, here's the point. Never mind.
Not bad.
No, no.
Sorry.
I may have said it wrong. But I'm impressed you were able to start adding.
Yeah.
How many love doing that like you do in the rest of the service? How many like to add numbers you hit the rest of the service?
No.
Charles and Lynn. Charles.
He lost me after the first two numbers.
Yeah. I understand. All right, we're going to switch it now. Listen, now we're going to do long division in our heads. We're going to do long division in our heads. How many are looking forward to this? The mind does not like being, demands placed on it. I have to think in this area. That's why we love the calculators. Joel's back on. I love calculators. We don't like to think like that. Do you follow me? I love to do puzzles. You got to make yourself enjoy puzzles sometimes. Because I'm stretching my thinking when I do it. I like logic puzzles and math puzzles and stuff.
Crosswords.
Keep your mind. But by and large, your mind does not like to be expanded or stretched. It gravitates towards just leave me alone. It likes, you can watch the same stupid TV show 14 times in a row. You can see the same rerun show four. How many have seen every Andy Griffith show four times at least? 40 times probably. Like, oh yeah, here's where they call them kerosene cucumbers. But our minds were not created for that. They were created to be creative wounds that can activate the power of heaven itself. And we have to learn how to take these thoughts captive and say, no, it's not the right use. You might have to turn the TV off or the social media off or something and make your mind do what it was designed for and get in the Word and let the Word form expectations. Because we can be naturally minded or we can be supernaturally minded. But to be supernaturally minded, you've got to guard that conception area and give the Spirit of God opportunity to birth miraculous. That's why time in prayer, time in the Word is so valuable. The Word's fueling your mind with supernatural Word to birth supernatural results. Is this okay with you this morning?
Yes.
And TVs? Listen, I enjoy watching television. Patty and I watch television most nights. At the end of the night, we'll watch some TV. But you can have a thing on and it totally wipe out your ability to conceive the supernatural. Because you fill it with nothing but natural input. And you've crowded out the ability to see beyond. As long as you fill that soul realm facility that you have with inputs that are not producing anything aligned with the kingdom, you'll never see kingdom results in your life. And that's where people lose it. Listen, are you ready? We don't like to stretch our minds naturally. You have to make it happen. Believing the investment you'll make in stretching your mind will be worth the results you see in your life. And they are. And we don't like responsibility, even for our lives. It's amazing. We were built to carry responsibility. You want to see somebody that's frustrated in life, it's somebody that's avoided responsibility. Doesn't want to keep a job. Just wants to do a chemical or an alcohol or something, you know, to escape stretching their minds or facing up to what they need to do. Escapism. But you were built to carry a job for fulfillment. Accomplishing a task plays a role in our life to produce fulfillment. How many do things to-do lists? I do. I've always got a thing. I make them virtually almost daily. I have ongoing ones. You know what I enjoy doing? Checking them off. That's right.
That's right.
I enjoy them. Hang on. This one is from Sunday, November 9th.
That's today.
Well, that's the last time I checked. Here's my list of stuff I had to do coming back from Texas. When I came back, stuff had piled up, been gone a week. I made a list. I've checked off almost every one. Some of them are going to take a little longer to do. It's fulfilling to have a responsibility and do it. My wife's responsibility is to take care of me. She loves it. That's her fulfillment. It's my confession. I'm sticking with it. We get fulfillment out of a job, an assignment, and completing it.
Amen.
And even though we were built to access this through our responsibilities, another part of the flesh is, I don't want that. How many people have heard saying, I don't want any responsibility? Well, then you're avoiding the fulfillment that will come with it.
Yes.
Amen. But the number one thing we're responsible for as far as God's concerned is walking in His kingdom. Functioning supernaturally. And we tend to avoid that. Now, I'm about to say something. Nobody get mad. I've said it many times in here. How many want to step into supernatural health?
Yes.
Divine health. How about supernatural prosperity?
Amen.
How many have confession lists at home about healing scriptures? Amen. Don't raise your hand on anybody feel condemned. See, if you're serious about it, you'll be working it. Be because the responsibility is yours. It's not mine to make you be healed. It's yours. I mean, Karen's been given the testimonies, working that word. It's your job to get that word in you to get the supernatural result. But instead, we tend to gravitate towards natural things to escape the responsibility spiritually. Sometimes even overworking in the natural to escape responsibilities in the spirit. And we've got to be willing to take on the responsibility for ourselves in the kingdom. Get the confession list. Here's one. How many get concerned when the offering bucket goes by? Don't raise your hand. If you want a prosperity and recognize how it worked, you'd be excited. I've yet to meet a farmer. And I was raised around farmers. Lived in a rural community. Had a farm. You know, we lived on a farm. I've yet to meet a farmer say, oh, rats, it's planting season again and the soil's just right to plant today. Ground's just right, dryness. I can get the tractor out, the plows, everything's ready to put the seed in the ground. Rats. I really don't want to do that again this year. No, they're waiting for the moisture level to get right. They get the planters out in the field. They're waiting for everything to get just right, and they're excited. Okay, I can plant today. Because they know there's a harvest coming off the seed. We tend to, oh no, they're going to pass the bucket again. Now rest assured, I'm not passing the bucket today, but as soon as they accept our offer, you're ready. Y'all said y'all went in on this. We should have this building. Welcome to the partnership. But there's a harvest on it. There's a harvest on it. And you've got to believe that to step into it. So we learn to cast down these imaginations and take a conception area and dedicate to the things of the kingdom. Amen. Now back to Galatians chapter 5. Touching on some things this morning. Maybe there were things you wanted to touch on, but here we are. Verse number 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. We were on this verse a few weeks ago. You got to be careful within the church you don't get offended and turn to Christian cannibalism. Biting and devour one another, attacking one another. Divisions. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now see, here we are. You can walk in the flesh, or you can walk in the Spirit. You can't do both. Not simultaneously. How many know what a pie chart is? Everybody probably knows what a pie chart is. You show a big circle. There's slices of pie that represent different things. My favorite one is the one with the slice, and it says, pie I have eaten and pie I haven't eaten. The perfect pie chart. What a pie chart demonstrates is you have 100% of something and where each percentage goes. And if we were to have the Spirit of God put up a chart for each of us, amount I've walked in the flesh and amount I've walked in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You understand? They can't overlap. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be responding to the flesh. How much are we, even reading the Word, guess what? That's walking in the Spirit. Praying, walking, you're doing things that feed the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're walking in a supernatural all the time. Ooh, Jesus. No, how much are you being led by God in what you're doing? How much are you dedicating your actions to spiritual endeavor? Now carry this over what we were talking about with the mind, with the soul. Think about your soul as a pie chart. How much of your mind, your thinking, your imaginations are you dedicating to spiritual considerations, spiritual development? I mean, even just talking to God. And how much are you allowing your mind to be dominated by natural considerations? Do you follow me? Chances are, most of our time on social media, unless you're watching spiritual videos or reading Linda's posts, because she's always posting stuff spiritually, that it's marshmallow mental activity, fluff. And there's a pie chart we could apply to how much of our mind are we really letting God develop and use for the kingdom? Now see, here's the responsibility part people don't like. And this is where people come to church. Well, I can't stay here. It's too hard. It's not hard. It's just a shift.
Amen.
Let me try something. Right now, I want you to imagine a brown fluffy puppy. Think about it. Wasn't it cute? Did yours have curly or straight hair? Curly. Most people are curly. Now close your eyes. Think about Jesus sitting on the throne. He just stood up for you. Now, which of those two was harder? The same. You can think about Jesus, you can think about a puppy. It's the same effort. You know what the hard part is? Is training yourself to think in that realm. Now look at the next verse. This is the verse I wanted to get to all morning. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. Now I want you to think about it in this term instead. Put this in, because really it's what it's talking about. The natural realm wars against the kingdom of heaven, as far as your own application. And the kingdom of heaven is a war against your natural life, as far as application. And as long as you're caught up in that war between, do I want to follow God? Do I want to think about the kingdom? Do I want to swim in that realm? Or do I want to just get caught up in Andy Griffith? I prefer Beverly Hillbillies. Do I want to... Christmas movies. Do I want to live in this realm? And there's a battle where your mind's going to go. And as long as you've got one foot in each and you can't decide, then that gyrating back and forth keeps you from doing what you need to be doing. But he says, walk in the spirit, you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's training our minds. I know this sounds hard. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's a decision. What's hard? To think about somebody offending you or to praise Jesus? Well, a demon's probably helping the one and the Spirit of God will help the other. It only comes on one, it doesn't come on the other. And we want to be anointed. We want to be used by God. But God's saying, I need you to make this shift from the natural to the kingdom. Learn to live in the kingdom. And again, living in the kingdom doesn't mean necessarily that you're flaky out there and just kind of floating around. It means that you're thinking about things that deal with kingdom issues. Friday night, we were at Prophet Robin Bullock, hearing him. He was in the spirit. He was floating, teaching on political issues. He was teaching about the war with Ukraine, about the attacks against Israel. He was pulling all this stuff together, and he was teaching it out of a revelation of good versus evil, the demonic versus the angelic. And how the enemy is trying to orchestrate national and world events to maintain control of the earth.
Yes.
And he was doing it very clearly and very well. He's talking about politics, yet it was spiritual. In fact, he brought out every prophet is a sign of God to speak politically.
Yes.
And a lot of churches, well, I don't think we should be talking about politics in the church. Tell that to Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the others.
Amen.
They were tied right in with addressing political issues. And we got to make the decision. I'm going to live in this realm of the kingdom. And other stuff has to go. I'm going to prioritize my thinking time, my conception area, to birthing the right thing. Now, Patty and I, we had two children. So we've been married 41 years, a year and a half. She was in an expectant state out of the 41. 39 years you wasted not giving birth to kids.
Today's Andy's birthday.
Today's my oldest daughter's birthday, that's right. I remember that when she was born because I was there. And there's some women, what's the world record for a woman having the most kids? Like 40-something?
No, it's like 69 or something.
What?
69 kids. I mean, all these twins and triplets born and all this stuff.
Really?
Somebody can Google it real quick. What's the world record?
I saw that in Guinness.
Did you really? 69.
She was on a lot of those hormone pills that make you have a lot of kids.
I got you. Could we just say she was maximizing use of her conception area? That's maximizing. Now listen, I'm not saying you gotta have a lot of kids. Both of ours had colic. We said we're done. Enough of that. We repented since then. Patty wanted 12 more. Go one more anyway. That's maximizing the opportunity. Now, we're not called to have a bunch of children. That's not necessarily part of the calling. But maximizing this conception area is. And we can do the pie chart before we use our thinking. I understand you got jobs to do and everything. You know, please, listen. If you're a heart surgeon, please don't be thinking about, you know, walking on water or something like that while you're doing heart surgery.
Really?
If you're my dentist,
oh my.
You know, don't be thinking about,
you know, especially if you have a drill.
Your mansion in heaven. If you're, oops, I got caught up. I want a swimming pool right there. We have responsibilities in the natural, but again, you can dedicate your natural work to God and what you're doing. Ask His anointing on it. Ask His wisdom for it. The goal is don't waste your, is disposable time the right word? What's the word I want?
Spare time.
Free time. Downtime. Excess.
That wasn't it. There's a more official term. Your optional time. That's not the word I want, but it's close. That's not it either. You're trying to use two of them now, Peggy. Good thing you brought vegetables, man. You'd be in trouble. See, we naturally want to get, here's what we normally do. I need to close this out. We want to get our job done, our prayer time in, our word time in, and then relax and veg out. Where you're not stretching your mind using it.
Yep.
You gotta recognize you're taking. You gotta take some of your time. Don't make just prayer and word a chore.
Right.
Don't make it a chore. Make it an opportune investment.
Yep. Yes.
And maximize it. You follow me?
Yes. Change from have to get to.
Absolutely. Patty shared, who were we with the other day? You were talking about willing and obedient.
Yeah.
purpose of the Bible study?
The Bible study. Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday night, the Bible study.
Yes.
Patty was talking about years ago, she don't want to be a pastor's wife. Problem is, she was. This is when I was first called. She let me know, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. I didn't call me. God said, quit your job or you'll die. What are you trying to kill me? But she did it. She loved me. She loved God, but she don't want to be a pastor's wife. There was responsibility with it. And she couldn't play the piano. And finally, I remember we were there. She mentioned it to me. God just corrected me. She's in a church service. This has been 25 years ago. God just said, I've been willing, but I've been obedient, but not willing.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the fruit of the land. And she had to get the other half in place for it to work. Now it works. Now she's in the Word all the time, in prayer all the time. Worship music. Now she's embraced that job, and she can't think of anything else as being a pastor's wife. In Jesus' name.
Don't push it.
That was a big breakthrough for her to do healing of the hearts. I think she did a great job with it.
Yes.
I heard Diane did a good job last week as well.
Yes.
Don't be thinking about replacing me now.
Don't say no, you are.
Man, that blew what I was about to say out of front.
Good.
We dedicate ourselves to the kingdom. Did you know if you're out in some open water, meaning over your head, and you quit trying to swim, chances are you will sink.
Yes.
Things true in the kingdom. You got to keep in motion. Not that you can't relax. I relax today. I prophesy a nap in my future today. Taking my daughter out to eat, there'll be a nap afterwards. I declare it.
You can see it coming.
It may not happen. We'll see what happens. Nothing wrong with relaxing and even vegging. But don't make it your goal.
Yeah.
You follow me? I worked with people for years. They live for break. They live for weekends. They live for vacations. They live for retirement.
Yeah.
They did not embrace their job. Didn't enjoy their job. They were just working to get a paycheck, and they looked forward to always being off. That's sad. Because you're spending a lot of your life at that job. You might as well consider something you want to do. At least do it well. You may not like it, but do it well. Again, one of the funnest days I ever had in the kingdom with a group of us went to clean a septic system in Owington. And if somebody had piped it wrong, and the ground is covered with everything you should not be touching.
Yeah.
Unprocessed, raw paper stuff everywhere. I mean everywhere. It's just flooded. And we prayed beforehand, me and a group of guys. We had the funnest day. Now, we wore boots and gloves.
Yeah.
Then we duct taped our gloves and sleeves, and I don't know what we did. We trash bags. And we dug up the entire system, all the leach lines, redid the entire system, and had an absolute blast.
Wow.
See, it's not what you're doing, it's how you approach it.
Yes, it is.
When we were done, we stepped back and said, we got it done. We did a job nobody else would want to do. We did it with fun, joy, had a great time. We didn't sling anything at each other.
Oh, <my
God>. Oops!
We
broke for lunch during. We each had Mighty Man meals. You can embrace the kingdom like this. Don't make it a chore. Make it something you look forward to, as really as important as your regular job. And then we eat the fruit of the land. Then we learn to swim in the river. Then the glory comes upon us. God's not coming back for a church. or he's just a sideline. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Amen.
Father, move on your people. Flow. Addict us to your kingdom. Addict us to your presence. Let it be the desire of our life to flow and swim with you, because that's where relationship comes out of, is where we're just dedicated to you. I declare in this church there's no strife, no division, no backbiting, envy, jealousy. There's no lack of any form. You supply all of our need. We have our facility. It's ours.
Yeah.
We believe or receive. We agree. There's no sickness, no pain. Every injury is healed up in fullness. Thank you, Lord God. We win in every single situation. And there's no oppression. Oppression is a result of our mind being allowed to go the wrong direction. We bind those spirits of fear, suicide, anxiety. We declare we focus on what the Word says. And we do. We win in every situation. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Amen.